Welcome to this deep dive. In this lesson, we're exploring understanding digital identity and digital footprints.
It's such an important one for today.
Oh, definitely. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along.
Right. We'll make sure it all makes sense.
Exactly. Now let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
Sounds like a solid plan.
So, you know, imagine sitting in an interview for your dream job. The vibe is great. They're nodding along. And then they ask you to explain this, like, highly aggressive comment you made on some obscure gaming forum 6 years ago.
Yeah, that is an absolute nightmare scenario.
It really is. Or, I mean, even worse, they mentioned an automated sentiment analysis of your web history, just flagged you as a high conflict personality. Terrifying, right?
It is. I think it catches a lot of people totally off guard because, you know, we tend to think of the internet as this fast-moving, ephemeral stream.
Right, you just scroll past something and it's gone.
Exactly. But behind the scenes, it's this incredibly meticulous archiving system. Every single digital action is a data point. It's categorized, stored, and, well, often sold.
Which I think brings us to the core distinction we need to make right up front. We hear digital identity and digital footprint thrown around a lot.
Right.
Like, they're the exact same thing.
Yeah, interchangeably. But they are fundamentally different mechanisms.
Right. So the way I look at it, your digital identity is like the outfit you intentionally choose to wear to a networking event.
I like that analogy.
Thanks. It's the tailored suit, the crisp resume, you know, the polished profile picture you upload to LinkedIn. You control that narrative.
Yes, exactly. You choose what to put out there.
But your digital footprint, on the other hand, is like the trail of muddy shoe prints you leave behind without realizing it. I mean, both affect how people perceive you, but one is curated and the other is totally unconscious.
The muddy shoe prints analogy hits the nail on the head because it really gets at the core of how data aggregation actually works.
Okay, break that down for us a bit.
Sure. So your identity is what you actively submit, right? But your footprint is what is extracted from you. To understand that, we have to look past the surface level of just liking a post.
So more than just leaving a comment on a video.
Way more. We have to look at metadata and behavioral tracking. Like when you upload a photo to a public forum, you might just see a cute picture of your dog.
Right. Just me and Buster.
Exactly. But the file itself might contain the GPS coordinates of your backyard, the exact time the photo was taken, and like the make and model of your phone.
Wait, really? So the muddy shoe prints aren't just me being clumsy online. They're like invisible data trails literally baked into the technology.
Precisely. And it goes even deeper than just photo metadata. I mean, your footprint includes your scroll speed, how long your cursor hovers over an ad, you know, the cookies you accept just to get a pop-up out of your way.
Oh, man. I do that all the time.
We all do. But data brokers operate by sweeping up all these tiny, seemingly insignificant interactions.
Yeah.
It feels completely anonymous in the moment.
All right, hovering over an article doesn't feel like I'm giving anything away.
But these brokers take those scattered pieces and assemble this high-definition jigsaw puzzle of your personality, your income bracket, your political leanings, everything.
Okay, I'm going to be honest. If data brokers are assembling this high-definition puzzle of my life from, like, scattered tracking cookies, shouldn't we just be terrified?
Well, it can definitely feel that way.
Because it feels like the only winning move is to not play.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I should just smash my router and go completely off the grid.
The scope of it can absolutely induce that kind of digital paralysis. When university students or young professionals first realize the sheer volume of their exposure, the instinct is to just retreat.
Yeah, go live in the woods.
Exactly. But retreating simply isn't a viable option in a digitally enabled future, right?
Yeah.
It's not about hiding. It's about curiosity, awareness, and taking control of the narrative.
Because if you don't manage it, someone else will.
Yes, an unmanaged digital presence comes with cascading risks, so you have to be proactive.
Let's talk about those risks. We've all heard the boilerplate warnings from high school. You know, the classic, don't post a picture with a red plastic cup because your future boss will see it.
Right, the party pictures.
But based on what you're saying about data brokers and metadata, I mean, we are way past party pictures, aren't we?
Oh, we are light years past that. Reputational damage today rarely comes from some human HR manager manually scrolling through your Facebook feed.
Really? So who's doing it?
Today, employers, recruiters, and academic institutions use automated third-party screening services. These are AI-driven tools that scrape the open web.
Wow.
Yeah, they use open source intelligence, or OSINT, to connect the dots. So they can tie the professional email address you use on your resume to some pseudonym you used on a controversial message board 5 years ago.
And they're not just looking for bad photos then?
No, they run a sentiment analysis. The AI evaluates the language you use across platforms to assess traits like professionalism, bias, or volatility.
Wait, so an algorithm is actively grading my personality based on 5-year-old comments?
Yes. If your footprint reveals a pattern of engaging in hostile online arguments, that signals to an employer that you might be a toxic presence.
That is intense.
It is. That's long-term digital exposure in action. The internet doesn't contextualize that you were just having a bad day in 2021, you know? It just logs the hostility.
Okay, so we really need practical strategies to manage this digital divide between our private, messy human lives and our polished public personas.
Definitely. That's the core of it.
One of the strategies always suggested is separating personal and professional online activities responsibly. But, I mean, I have to challenge that.
Go for it.
How practical is it to keep personal and professional lives separate when we just established that algorithms are actively bridging those gaps? Like, where's the line?
Well, it is incredibly difficult, which is why the key component of that strategy is intentionality. You cannot rely on default privacy settings to maintain that line for you.
You have to do the work yourself.
Exactly. You have to actively architect your presence through compartmentalization. This means using entirely different ecosystems for different behaviors.
Like using different browsers.
Yeah, maybe a dedicated lockdown browser for personal browsing and a separate one for professional work. Using email aliases.
Oh, I see.
Right. And making sure the phone number linked to your highly private group chats is not the same phone number plastered on your public resume.
Ah, so it's about starving the algorithm of the connections it needs to build that puzzle in the first place.
Precisely. You are controlling access. Your personal life stays behind strict, monitored privacy barriers.
While the professional stuff is out in the open.
Yes, your professional achievements, industry insights, and networking, that is deliberately public-facing. You want the search engines to find that data easily.
So the algorithm assumes that is the totality of who you are.
You got it.
But wait, here is where I get stuck. The internet algorithms, especially social media, heavily reward outrage, polarization, and, you know, hot takes.
They really do. Engagement is everything.
Right. So if I follow the advice to maintain respectful and professional digital behavior, don't I risk just being totally invisible? How do we balance being professional with actually getting noticed?
That is a brilliant tension to highlight. You have to distinguish between the engagement algorithm of a platform like TikTok and the evaluation algorithm of a hiring committee.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yes. Outrage gets clicks in the short term. But employers aren't hiring for clicks. They are hiring for stability, competence, and judgment.
So being respectful pays off eventually.
It does. When you maintain insightful behavior online, say publishing a well-thought-out article on LinkedIn, you might not go viral. But you are planting evergreen assets in your digital footprint.
You're optimizing for the long game, not just the quick dopamine hit.
Precisely. And this directly impacts career trajectories. There's a fantastic real-world scenario from our lesson materials that illustrates this shift perfectly.
Oh, yeah, the internship case study. Let's talk about that.
Right. So we have a student who is really struggling to land an internship in a competitive field. And they realized their digital footprint was either super messy or just non-existent.
So what did they do?
They took two deliberate actions. First, they scrubbed the muddy shoe prints. They audited their public social media, removed inflammatory comments, and locked down personal accounts.
Damage control. Securing the perimeter, basically.
Right. But damage control doesn't get you hired. It just prevents you from being disqualified. The second action was the real game changer.
What was it?
They intentionally built a more professional online presence. They started posting industry-relevant articles, engaged thoughtfully with professionals, and showcased academic projects on public platforms.
So they flooded the search engine results with positive, relevant content.
Exactly. And the result was a massive improvement in their internship opportunities.
It's like realizing your digital footprint isn't just a background check waiting to happen. It's a living, breathing resume that you can actively curate to open doors. You're effectively doing SEO on your own name.
That is the exact mindset shift required for the future workplace. In a digitally enabled future, employers aren't just hunting for red flags to reject you.
Right. They want reasons to say yes.
Actually, if they search your name and find absolutely nothing, that's increasingly becoming a red flag itself. It suggests you either lack basic digital literacy or you're hiding something terrible.
Wow, I never thought of it that way. Invisibility is a red flag.
It is. They are actively looking for positive credibility. Managing your digital identity effectively serves as a proxy for your professional judgment.
It implies you can be trusted to handle the company's digital tools and public reputation responsibly.
Exactly. But, you know, building an impressive resume is only half the equation here.
Right, because responsible use isn't just about impressing future bosses. There's a fundamental ethical and personal safety layer to this, right?
Absolutely.
By curating our footprint, we aren't just managing our reputation. We are actively minimizing our attack surface for long-term digital exposure. It really is a form of self-defense.
Attack surface is the perfect term here. In cybersecurity, your attack surface is the total number of points where an unauthorized user can try to extract data from an environment.
So every piece of data is a potential entry point.
Yes. When you overshare online, like when you post your pet's name or your mother's maiden name in one of those fun Facebook quizzes.
Or your daily running route on a fitness app.
Exactly. When you do that, you are massively expanding your personal attack surface.
Yeah.
You're handing bad actors the exact puzzle pieces they need to bypass security questions or launch targeted phishing attacks.
Which brings up a really sticky social issue for me. How does my digital footprint affect others?
What do you mean?
Well, if I'm locking down my own attack surface, mm-hmm. but my best friend is constantly tagging me in public posts with our location, my security is compromised, right?
It is compromised. Your footprint inherently intersects with the footprints of the people around you.
So it's not just a solo mission.
Not at all. Being a responsible digital citizen requires privacy awareness that respects your own boundaries, but also the boundaries of your peers.
Like asking before posting a group photo.
Exactly. If you upload a photo from a conference and tag colleagues without permission, you might be linking their identity to a location they preferred to keep private.
Or exposing their facial recognition data to a scraping tool.
Right. Responsible behavior means understanding that data privacy is a collective effort, not just an individual one.
Okay, so we know the mechanics of how we're tracked, we know why it matters for future careers, and we understand the security implications. Let's translate this into immediate action.
I love that. Action is the antidote to that digital paralysis we mentioned earlier.
So how do we build confidence with this skill right now?
Well, our materials outline a highly practical application activity for reviewing your digital presence. It requires you to conduct a personal digital audit.
Think of this as an annual digital spring cleaning, or maybe a stress test for your online life.
Exactly. And you break it down into four distinct categories. First, you search for positive online activities.
So, finding what makes you look competent or skilled.
Right. You need to know your baseline so you know what to amplify. Second, you look for possible privacy concerns.
Like seeing if your phone number or home address are visible on data broker websites like White Pages or Spokio.
Yes, finding the active leaks in the hull. Third, you identify content that may affect your reputation.
This requires some brutal honesty, I'd imagine.
It really does. You have to look at your internet history through the eyes of a cynical recruiter. Are there edgy jokes, heated arguments, or associations with toxic communities?
Things that do not represent who you are today.
Exactly. And fourth, you identify areas for improvement. Where is your professional presence lacking?
Do you need to migrate casual blog posts to a polished LinkedIn newsletter? Stuff like that?
Right. That four-step structure makes the overwhelming idea of auditing the internet actually manageable.
And just Googling your own name only scratches the surface, right?
Yeah.
If we really want to dig into the metadata and the hidden tracking, we need specific tools.
We do. And the notes highlight three core resources to help with this audit. The first is perhaps the most critical because of its sheer scale, which is Google account privacy settings.
Because Google is the largest data aggregator in the world.
Right. Most people set up a Gmail account, click accept all on the terms of service, and just never look back.
Guilty as charged.
But if you go into that dashboard, you can see the mechanics of your footprint. You can see your location history, mapping your commute, your ad personalization profile, categorizing your demographics.
It is genuinely startling to open that tab and see exactly what the algorithm assumes about you.
It is. But the power is that you can turn it off. You can pause web and app activity. You can auto-delete your history.
Taking control of those settings stops the active bleeding of your data.
Exactly. The second tool mentioned is LinkedIn. Once you've stopped the bleeding, LinkedIn is the premier platform to build the positive online activities category of your audit.
It's the environment where you construct that curated outfit we talked about earlier.
Beautifully put. And the third tool is Mozilla Monitor.
How does Mozilla Monitor factor into the audit?
It addresses the possible privacy concerns step. It cross-references your email addresses against known historical corporate data breaches on the dark web.
Oh, so it tells you if your passwords or phone numbers were exposed when a company you used was hacked.
Yes. It is an essential tool for understanding your true attack surface because it shows you the footprint that exists completely outside of your control.
Those are three incredibly powerful tools. Google Settings to control the tracker, LinkedIn to build the resume, and Mozilla Monitor to scan the dark web.
They really form a solid foundation.
And for those listening who want to go beyond the basics and really master the mechanics of this, our materials recommend three fantastic books.
The recommended titles are The Art of Invisibility by Kevin Mitnick, published in 2017, Cybersecurity and Cyber War by P.W. Singer and Alan Friedman from 2014, and Cal Newport's 2019 book, Digital Minimalism.
Kevin Mitnick's book is phenomenal for understanding the extreme end of privacy, you know, how to truly leave no trace if you needed to.
Absolutely. And Cybersecurity and Cyber War zooms out to show how these concepts affect global security.
Which really puts your own attack surface into perspective.
It does. And Digital Minimalism is essentially the philosophical playbook for that intentionality you were talking about.
Right. How to extract value from digital tools without handing over your entire psychological profile in exchange.
They are highly recommended for anyone looking to transition from a passive consumer of the internet into an active architect of their digital life.
So to bring this all together, let's synthesize what we've uncovered today. The main takeaways are clear. First, digital footprints are long-lasting and largely invisible.
Built on metadata and behavioral tracking, not just photos.
Exactly. Second, your online behavior directly impacts your reputation because automated systems are actively scraping your history to evaluate your professional judgment.
And third, having privacy awareness isn't just about hiding. It is a form of self-defense that minimizes your attack surface.
Yet it is the key to supporting safer digital participation for everyone around you.
To really solidify this, I want to leave our listeners with the exact reflection prompt from our source material. I encourage you to genuinely ponder this.
Let's hear it.
How can my digital footprint affect future academic, personal, and career opportunities? Take the time to apply the mechanics we've discussed today to your own specific goals.
And I'll add a final thought to that. If our digital footprints are so meticulously archived and so incredibly long-lasting, what will your digital legacy look like decades from now?
That's a great question.
Are you building a footprint you'd be proud to look back on? Or just leaving a trail of muddy shoe prints hoping no one notices?
That is the ultimate question of digital intentionality.
We hope this deep dive has empowered you to take control of that narrative. We encourage you to stay curious, responsible, and future ready.
Definitely. Make sure to review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities to really lock in these practical skills.
And again, definitely check out those reference materials we mentioned. The Art of Invisibility by Kevin Mitnick, published in 2017. Cybersecurity and Cyber War by P.W. Singer and Alan Friedman from 2014. And Digital Minimalism by Cal Newport, published in 2019. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Have a great day and stay digitally aware.